Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everyone. This is August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministry. Welcome to our program. We come to you looking at world events in light of biblical prophecy. The soon return of our Lord and Savior, Christ at the rapture. Well, it is great to be back on U.S. soil. And we are coming to you live from Century, Florida, where we are continuing a three-month road tour. Actually, we have about maybe 2.5 weeks left before we head back home to Rhode Island, April the 1st, hopefully to warmer weather, better weather, and no snow. And so, yes, we have been suffering for Jesus down here in the South. But we just got back from our Bible prophecy tour to Israel. And, folks, I got to tell you, what a tour it was. Now, this was my 10th tour to Israel. This was my wife's 8th tour to the Holy Land. But, folks, I got to tell you, out of all these trips we make to Israel, this one had to be the best tour that we have put together in such a long time. There were a lot of firsts for my wife and I on this Israel tour, places that I have never been to before in all of my tours to Israel. We had one of the best tour guides that I believe he's one of the best in Israel. I request him every time. And his name is Hillel Bar Sadeh. Hillel, he calls me his rabbi. And he is a messianic. In other words, he does believe that Jesus or Yeshua is the promised Mashiach, the promised Messiah of Israel. And he always spoils us every time we go there. And he took us to a lot of places that I've never seen for the very first time. One of those places that he took us to was to Hebron. You know, Christians call it Hebron. But the proper Hebrew pronunciation in Israel is Hebron, H-E-V-R-O-N. Now, Hebron is mentioned in the book of Genesis, where Abraham purchases the Machpelah cave to bury his wife, Sarah. Later on, he would be buried there, along with Isaac and Jacob, known as the patriarchs. And then, of course, also the matriarchs are buried there, Sarah and Leah. He took us to Hebron. Not a lot of Christians, not a lot of tourists go to Hebron, because we roughly have about maybe 5,000 or so Jewish people living in Hebron, roughly among maybe 200,000 Palestinians. And tour groups do not go to Hebron. We decided to go to Hebron because, there's a lot of security there. And, you know, it's a very fortified, gated community. And Christian tour groups won't go there because of the security issues. But, folks, we went there. And we did not have one single problem. No security issues, no threats, didn't feel threatened in any way, shape, or form. We went there, and we visited, for the very first time, the cave of Machpelah. And when you go there today, you can see the remains of a Herodian structure that is built upon the original caves of Machpelah. This Herodian structure goes back 2,000 years. And, of course, you see some later construction around it. And we went inside and saw the place where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs, were buried. Actually, we did not see Isaac, because Isaac's tomb is located on the Arab side. And for the sake of time, we could not get over there to the Arab side to see Isaac, Isaac's tomb. But we saw Abraham, Jacob, Sarah, and Leah. But we also know that Hebron is important because that's where King David ruled for 7.5 years as king before he was made king over all of Israel. Hebron is also known in the Bible as Kiryat Arba. And, of course, we know that Abraham was there. We know that Jacob and Isaac, no doubt, were also there. King David, as I said, reigned there for 7.5 years before moving his capital to Jerusalem, making Jerusalem the capital. And so it was a phenomenal experience for us to be there at Petra. Now, folks, on the broadcast today, all I want to do is talk about this trip to Israel, because what I want to do is I want to whet your appetite. I want to put a spark in your very heart to hopefully down the road join us for a Bible prophecy tour of Israel. Now, when I say that, I'm reminded of what the Bible says in Joshua chapter 18 and verse number 8. And this is what it says. And the men arose and went away, and Joshua charged them that went to describe the land. Talking about the land of Canaan, which would be today Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, saying, go and walk through the land and describe it, and come again to me, that I may here cast lots for you before the Lord in Shiloh. You know, Christians say Shiloh, but in Israel they pronounce it Shiloh. So Joshua is telling the men to go and walk through the land. I want you to describe the land. Describe it. And come again to me. Folks, that's what we do every single year. We go and we walk through the land. And then we describe it. And then we come back home and we tell it to the people. We're telling it to you. And we want to invite you to come with us on our next Israel prophecy tour. Whenever we land in Israel, we go into Ben Gurion Airport, but we land at Ben Gurion Airport. We go into customs, get our luggage, get into our tour bus, and then we go over to Tel Aviv. Now, Tel Aviv is not mentioned in the Bible because it's a modern city. It was founded in the early 1900s. But Tel Aviv is around a lot of areas described in the Bible. Actually, Tel Aviv is a metropolis to what is called today Jaffa, J-A-F-F-A, Jaffa. Jaffa in Bible times was known as Joppa. And when you are in Tel Aviv, you can see Joppa, or today Jaffa, in the distance. That is where Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. As we read about in the book of Jonah. But it was also there that is described in Acts chapter number 9. Peter was lodged there at Joppa. He was in the house of one Simon the Tanner. We always go when we visit the house of Simon the Tanner. And it was also there that Peter, Shimon, receives a vision, or what is called the sheet vision. And he sees the sheet coming down on all of these unclean, unkosher animals. He hears a voice, which is the voice of Messiah Yeshua, saying, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter says, "I will not put anything in my mouth that is not uncommon." In other words, I'm a good Jewish boy. I'm not going to put anything that's unkosher in my mouth. And Yeshua, Jesus said, "What God has cleansed, that call not uncommon." What he was seeing is that a people who are not called the people of God are now about to be brought in to the early church that was primarily at first Jewish. The first believers in Messiah Yeshua were Jews. And so after that vision, and by the way, there's a church there at Joppa that commemorates this event. And so later on, after Peter gets this vision from heaven, men from Caesarea show up at his doorstep, saying there is one in Caesarea, a Roman centurion called Cornelius. He's a very God-fearing Gentile man. He's nothing like the other Romans, these very violent, uncircumcised Gentiles who are occupying the land of Israel. He's nothing like these men. He fears the God of the Jews. He fears the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And he wants to talk with you, Shimon. He wants to talk with you, Peter, about this new faith. So then Peter leaves Joppa. Again, today they call it Joppa. But he leaves Joppa. No doubt goes up the Mediterranean coast, passing Tel Aviv, makes his way on up to a place called Caesarea. Now, we always take our tour groups there to Caesarea. Don't confuse this Caesarea with Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi is located in the Golan Heights north of Israel that borders between the state of Israel and Syria. The Golan Heights serves as a buffer zone between Syria and Israel. Israel captured it during the 67 Six-Day War, and it's been in Israel's possession ever since, and rightfully so. But he goes to Caesarea, which is on the Mediterranean coast. He meets up with one Cornelius, a Roman centurion in charge of Roman soldiers occupying the land at this time. He wants to know more about the God of Israel. He bows before the feet of Peter. Peter says, "Listen, you need to stand up because I'm a man just like you are." So then Cornelius talks about this vision that the God of Israel gives him, a Gentile. And then Peter opens his mouth and shares the gospel of Yeshua, the Besorah, as they say in Hebrew, the gospel, the good news, to this Gentile. And we read this in Acts chapter 10. And we know, folks, that Cornelius, this Gentile Roman centurion, becomes the first Gentile convert to this new Jewish faith called the church. Because remember, the first Jews were believers. They were Christians in Antioch. That's Acts chapter 11, verse 26. But Christianity was first primarily Jewish. Cornelius becomes the first Gentile convert to Christianity. So then we would leave Tel Aviv, go over to Jaffa, which is not even a 5-10 minute drive. We talk about the events that happened there in Jaffa, and then we'll leave Jaffa and we'll head to Caesarea and talk about the events that happened there at Caesarea. But we also know at Caesarea is where Paul the Apostle comes back from his third missionary journey. A prophet meets him there, takes Paul's belt, wraps it around him, binds him, and says, the man who owns this belt will be bound when he goes to Jerusalem. Paul knew that when he came over to Caesarea, that this prophet gave him that revelation. And Paul says, if it's God's will for me to die in Jerusalem, I'm going to die in Jerusalem. So then Paul, after going there to Caesarea, he's been there many times, goes to Jerusalem, he has a vow to keep, goes there, goes into the temple complex. Now we know that two people accompany Paul the Apostle. We know that one of them was Trophimus, who, by the way, the Bible describes as an Ephesian. He's a Gentile. He's not a Jew. But we also know that Luke, the physician, accompanied Paul the Apostle. They go to Jerusalem. Paul goes into the temple complex. They recognize him. Hey, he is the troublemaker who betrayed Judaism, and he went over to this new religion. This new religion that believes that this one Yeshua is the promised Messiah of Israel. And we all know the rest of that story. Now they concoct a story to falsely accuse Paul, defiling the Jewish temple by bringing in Gentiles into the temple. Not Gentiles, plural, let me correct myself. Bringing a Gentile singular in there. Now, mind you, Luke and Trophimus accompanied Paul back to Jerusalem, but they only accused Paul of bringing a Gentile into the complex, which we know he did not do, but they falsely accused him of doing so. They didn't accuse Luke, because many believe that Luke was a Gentile. They didn't accuse Luke. They accused Paul of bringing in Trophimus, the Ephesian. Why didn't they accuse Paul of bringing both Luke and Trophimus? They didn't say nothing about Luke, but they did say something about Trophimus. What's my point? My point is simply this. I don't believe Luke was a Gentile. I believe Luke was a Jew. There is no evidence to suggest that he was a Gentile. All because he was a physician doesn't hold any water whatsoever. You had more Jewish physicians in Israel than you had Gentiles. You barely had any Gentile physicians in the land. But, man, you had many, many Jewish physicians. So if Luke was a Gentile, why not accuse both Trophimus and Luke? No, instead they just accuse Trophimus. Paul is bound. I mean, they're beating the daylights out of him there on the Temple Mount. The Romans, who are positioned and stationed at the Antonia Fortress, which would be on the north side of the temple complex, they run in, break up the fight, they bound Paul, they bring him back into the Antonia Fortress. Paul is then brought from Jerusalem to Caesarea, where he stands before Felix, and then later on he stands before Festus. Stands before them at the Bema Seat. Now, folks, when we are in Caesarea, we look at the remains of a Bema platform overlooking this racetrack arena called the Hippodrome. It's a perfectly preserved 2,000-year-old Hippodrome where they will stage horse races all the time. And we walk around that Hippodrome. It's amazing today. And right there next to the Hippodrome, we see that Bema seat where no doubt Paul stood before Felix and later on Festus. But then as we make our way toward the remains of King Herod's palace, we notice this 2,000-year-old jail that's underground. You can still see it. You can look right down into it. No doubt, it's the only one there at Caesarea. No doubt Paul himself was right in that very jail. And we always take our tour groups there. And we do a devotion there on the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10, Romans 14:10, Romans 14:12, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. And then, of course, we go toward the remains of Herod's harbor, where you would see where his swimming pool would have been. Recently in Caesarea, about 2 weeks ago, they found a hoard. Snorkel divers found a hoard, gold coins dating back to the Arab period, because Caesarea has been conquered, destroyed, and has suffered many, many earthquakes. And so, of course, we would leave Caesarea, and then, of course, we would visit our area in the Galilee. We would go all the way north, and we would go to the Galilee. We would go to Tiberias. And then, of course, we'll visit all the areas in Tiberias associated with Jesus' ministry. But, folks, I have to say, one of the places that we visited that I've never been to before, I've always dreamed of going there. This would involve going to another country, just over the border of Israel. We went to Jordan. And we went to southern Jordan, where we visited for the very first time a place called Petra. And folks, we believe Petra will be one of the hiding places, not one of them, but the hiding place of the Jewish people. We know based on Isaiah chapter 16, verses 1 and 4, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20, and Isaiah chapter 63, verses 1 through 6, that God will shelter the Jewish people there at Petra for the last 42 months or the last 3.5 years. What I'd like to do is a 9-minute audio. It's a video that we took while I was teaching Petra in Bible prophecy, but you'll hear it as audio. Now, I'm hoping that you can hear it just fine. And if you can't hear it properly, I apologize in advance. And then once it is over, then I will come back and talk more about a prophecy tour to Israel. But what I want to do right now is play you a 9-minute or so segment of my Bible prophecy teaching while we were there at Petra. Well, folks, I really hope and pray that you heard that. If you did not for the last 9 minutes, I do apologize. Please get clear audio when it's coming off of your cell phone. So we're hoping that we can, improve that down the road. But that was, if you did hear it, I hope and pray that you did. But that was our video teaching from Petra. And we stood in front of that five-story treasury. And we stood in front of that five-story high, and we also walked around the whole entire complex of Petra, where we saw the remains of tombs where kings once dwelt. Now, you know, you've seen Petra on Hollywood movies like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and the very, very last part of that movie at the very end, you see them all coming out of Petra, out of that treasury. Today, the beautiful of Petra today. Now, they were not done by Esau and the Edomites, because that was their capital. That's where they dwelt. And in order for you to go in and out of Petra, you must walk through what is called a sikh. A sikh is Arabic for a high, narrow gorge. And it's a four-mile walk through that sikh before you actually reach Petra. So you walk in 4 miles, and you come out 4 miles. So it's 4 miles in, 4 miles out. Roughly takes about 45 minutes, 50 minutes to walk through that sea. But when you get through there, you can see the beautiful, beautiful ruins of Petra. Folks, it's one of the seven wonders of the world. It even beat out the Dead Sea. And that's where Esau and the Edomites dwell. Yet the Bible says, thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. That's Genesis 36, verses 8 and 9. Esau is the father of the Edomites, and that's where they dwell. And that is where they also attacked many merchants that came by their way. When merchants were going through their way, they would run out of that sikh, attack those merchants, rob those merchants, and then they would run back into that sikh to find shelter and safety as the merchants would try to run after them and get them. It was known city. It's called the Rose Red. And the Edomites thought that nobody, and I mean nobody, could conquer them. But yet, folks, we see 350 years in advance, God gave a prophecy to the Jewish prophet Obadiah concerning these people called the Edomites. They were arrogant and they were prideful. And because of their arrogancy and their pride and the cruelty that they showed toward Israel, this is what God told Obadiah 350 years in advance. But pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the cleft of the rock, that's where Petra is, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, from thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Excuse me. And folks, we know that from Obadiah verses 1 through 14, those prophecies have already been fulfilled. And we know that the Medeteans of Arabia, what today called Saudi Arabia, the Nabataeans in the first century B.C. They were invited by the Edomites to come and have a major banquet with them. The Nabataeans come in, sit down at the Edomite banquet there at Petra, a very huge, very elaborate banquet. And right in the middle of the banquet, the Nabataeans stop killing the Edomites. And those Edomites end up fleeing. Those surviving Edomites flee out of the sea. They turn west. They go over the border into the Jezreel Valley. Not the Jezreel Valley, I'm sorry, the Judean Valley. They go over into southern Judea, and their names change from Edomites to Idumeans, which is Greek for Judah or Judea. And again, all the stone carvings that you see there at Petra were not done by the Edomites. They were done by the Nabataeans of Saudi Arabia. All the tombs, everything you see there, were done by the Nabataeans. And by the way, folks, I came away with a beautiful piece of antiquity there at Petra. It's a rock that has carved on it what looks like to me to be a pine cone, like a 3D effect coming out of the rock, like a pine cone or a pineapple. When I brought it to my tour guide when we got back into Israel and I showed it to him, he believes that that has to be Roman, dating back 2,000 years ago. Very, very impressive find. And by the way, folks, I purchased from a Jordanian woman there. And they live in very dire straits over there. Their living conditions are so poor. But we went in there, and she had all types of antiquities that she finds all over the place out there. And that one right there, I got from her for, $5. And we know fake from real antiquities. And so I got a good eye for that because I was trained pretty well in that by my Israeli tour guide, Hillel Bar Sadeh. And I brought it over to him to confirm, and he confirmed that it is definitely genuine, a piece of history there from Petra. But again, folks, we know according to Bible prophecy that Petra will play a major, major role, the hiding place for the Jewish people. God will shelter them there for the last 42 months of the tribulation period. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 1 says, "Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah?" Bozrah was the capital of the Edomites. Jesus Christ, at the end of the tribulation period, will go there to Edom, rescue those Jews, bring them over to Jerusalem, where one day the Bible says his feet will touch the Mount of Olives. We also see in Revelation 12:14, that God will shelter the people there in the wilderness. And we know that Petra is indeed in the wilderness. Now, folks, we can go on and on and on about our trip to Israel. I can talk about we visited there for the next 4 hours. But I want to invite you to come with us to Israel next year, either late February, early March. Come and join us, Lord willing, 2016, for our Bible prophecy tour to Israel. Now, folks, on another note, we leave Century, Florida after this program, and we go to Wiggins, Mississippi, tomorrow morning, all day, at Red Creek Missionary Baptist Church in Wiggins, Mississippi. We would love to have you join us there for Sunday school, Sunday morning, and Sunday evening as I look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy. Also pray because we'll be leaving for Israel again in June, just myself and Dr. Todd Baker, the theologian for Zola Levitt Ministries. We'll be going there to Israel, not for touring, sightseeing, but to evangelize and share the gospel with the Jewish people. Todd just left for Israel today for the 33rd missions outreach there to Israel, and I'll be going with him in June, and this will be my 11th tour to the Holy Land. We might be going in May with another church. I'm not. Yeah. Pray for us. Hope to see you if you live in the area in Wiggins, Mississippi, at Red Creek Missionary Baptist Church. God bless you, and shalom.